Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Breakfast edition here to break down Gregor Townsend's possibly final Six Nations Scotland squad as we enter into the greatest time of the year. We are 2 weeks away from the start of the Six Nations. It's David here with Alan and Matt to break everything down with you. Alan, we were out last night. It's getting a bit hard to go out and not be stopped by fans of the pod now, isn't it?
It was great. And especially given the fact that we sort of don't really show our faces too much, just sort of our voices that just sort of carried through the room, and someone picked it up and came over and was very nice.
Your dulcet tones ordering a couple of bottles of Stella. It's an odd order as well. It's not our usual.
Where did that come from?
That was the only thing that was available.
That was the only thing that was available. Okay. We weren't just like, let's get a couple of Stellas for the boys. Come on.
Do you want a pint? No, we want a bottle, obviously.
Yeah, those 5% bottles, feeling it this morning, trying to yeah. Channel Andy Murray to get through the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was I think it was Nick from Edinburgh came up. We were talking all about Scotland's World Cup group and everything like that. It was great to get stopped by the fans whenever you see us, if you hear us out in the wild. Matt, you all right?
Yeah, good man. Sadly, I clearly wasn't invited to this little night out last night, but I'll get over it.
Alan and I do that sometimes. We like to go out without you. Well, good stuff. As I say, we are a couple of weeks away from the Six Nations, and there is only one place to get all your news, and that is on the Thistle. Follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Alan, do you think is it the real strategy that we did last year on Instagram? Do we think we're bringing that back for this year's Six Nations?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of real, like, juicy memes ready to drop.
You really, like, percolate on them all year, and then it's just, like, mid-January, it just, like, explodes in the group chat.
Iron up a TikTok, but I might just... I don't know.
We do have a dormant TikTok account, don't we? Because yeah, none of us know how to use it.
You've got your own personal TikTok as well, which I think a lot of people would be interested in seeing.
It's something, that's for sure. A couple of high class videos on there, but I've got a few ideas.
What's your engagement like on TikTok?
Low, really, really low. But you got to start somewhere, right?
You do. So that's us on socials, and you can also, of course, follow us on Substack, which is where we put up our newsletter when there's something to say. So that's on Substack. Just type in Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, and you can find us on there. We are also very happy to be working again with the guys at Fanzo, formerly of Match Pint and the Guinness Pint Predictor. We'll do a formal launch of that next week when the app goes live, but watch out for that. The Thistle League we are reliably informed that it was the busiest and best league in Scotland for that game. During the autumn internationals, we owe somebody a signed match ball. And this year, we're really lucky that we're going to have two tickets for Scotland versus Italy to give away to the winner of our group. So watch out on our social channels, and we'll put some details in the show notes when we can as well for joining that group. Tickets for Scotland, Italy, for the winners of that group. So a really nice opportunity to get involved. So obviously today...
Won't we only know the winner of the group after the Scotland and Italy game?
It's not for the winner. I've completely balls that up. It's a good point. If you join before the first game, if you join our group, you're going to go into a draw, and we're going to draw a name. That's how it's going to happen. It's a really good point. I'm glad that was corrected live on air, because it needed to be. So your name will go into the draw, and then you'll win tickets for Scotland versus Italy. So fantastic opportunity there to get in to what I think is a sold out game. It usually is.
Not currently sold out, but I think it's sort of the language of the nearly sold out.
Two tickets to the nearly sold out BT Murrayfield, which is a great opportunity. But let's get into it. Obviously, we've got the Six Nations squad, which we're going to go through in detail. We're going to start quite quickly. We're going to talk about obviously some pretty grim news that has come out in the last couple of days. Rufus McLean pleading guilty to I think some domestic abuse charges against his girlfriend. Glasgow have, I believe, suspended him from all activity, and there is a further disciplinary process and sentencing to come. Obviously, hugely grim story, the details that are available. We are not in this podcast going to go into huge details on the discussions of the details over it, as there is sort of continuing issues going on, but he has pled guilty. I'm sure you will have seen it on social medias, and it's a pretty dark story, which obviously doesn't reflect well on him. And it's really sad sort of state of affairs. But it's going to be part of the conversation, I expect, for the next month or so. But we're not going to talk about it hugely on this podcast. We're going to focus on the Six Nations squad and the upcoming rugby. But it is going to be something that we'll talk about at some stage. So moving on, Matt, why don't I come to you first? Gregor Townsend named his squad earlier this week. Give me those top lines. How did you feel about it when you saw it drop?
Yeah, well, you're always expecting that sort of rogue selection. But apart from McConaughey, it was a pretty standard squad in some ways. It's maybe what you would have expected. No major surprises. I think if you look across someone did a kind of split of the caps and experience. There's a good block of experienced guys who've played in Six Nations, played highest level games for Glasgow and Edinburgh, and been involved in a lot of big Scotland games. So it seems like a really solid squad and maybe what we'd expect. I suppose the injuries have revealed the lack of depth that we know exists in Scottish rugby, particularly at tight head prop and probably in the back three as well, actually. So I think there's a lot to work with. My one concern is you kind of look at that squad, and I think there's been players who've got into that world class level before, but I wonder if at the moment you've got any players who you'd say are playing at that world class level. And I think for Scotland to really compete in Six Nations, we need 3, 4, 5 of those, which is probably the most we're going to get. So that's the one thing that concerns me. But I think it's probably as strong a squad as we could have wanted, really.
Alan, strongest squad we could have wanted. Happy with that?
Well, yeah, as we were sort of discussing a little bit last night, I think when Scotland are picking a 40-person squad and you've got quite a few injuries, it's almost tough not to get selected if you're a professional Scottish rugby player, you know. And I think that's kind of like a lot of the narrative is very much less about who's not been picked. You know, there's a couple of people like Rory Hutchinson, for example, but actually it sort of gives Tunney the scope to kind of pick most people that broadly people would think would be in contention. And it's actually the conversation is always more about who is that rogue person that has been picked just because of the size of the squad. But no, I think it's pretty good. Worried about front five, especially against England. just with Xander coming back, and appreciate, you know, Johnny Gray's been a little bit out injured. Scott Cummings isn't there. And at Hooker, it feels like you've got four competent but not particularly sort of international class hookers. So a little bit of trepidation, but broadly happy.
And you talk about the sort of the Rogue inclusions. Let's cover off those first. I suppose Rogue, you have to talk about Rue McConaghy. Obviously, I think two caps for England, but by way of, I think his mum's from Glasgow, and maybe and his dad as well, is now in the Scotland squad, has made it clear to Tooney that he wants to play for it. Matt, let's not go down the whether this rule is meant to be applied for tier one nations like Scotland, but what does McConaghy bring? And do you think he is an option for possibly starting that first game against England?
Yeah, well, I saw a few people online sort of complaining that it's taking away from an opportunity from maybe younger Scottish rugby players. But you actually look at the wingers that missed out, and, you know, Hoyland's one of them who maybe could feel a little bit aggrieved. Jack Blaine, who's only played a few times for Edinburgh this season, and I don't think is worthy of international, and obviously stuff with Rufus McLean. So, yeah, it maybe just reveals like the slight lack of depth. But I think in terms of what he can bring, like he's arguably maybe what Scotland need in that back three at the moment. I think he's like a solid, pretty big unit who seems to be pretty comfortable under the high ball. And you'd sort of be pretty happy with him like popping up in midfield as well. It seems like, excuse me, he's got a pretty good like overall skill set that you'd maybe expect from a sevens player. So I feel like he could probably play fullback as well. Like I think he's quite a nice option to have. I mean, he's 31 now, maybe 32, hasn't really played that much rugby, obviously no international rugby since the Rugby World Cup. So I don't know if he's at his peak as a winger, but I kind of feel like it's maybe worth having a look at him, seeing how he copes and whether he fits in with the Townsend approach to the Six Nations. So I think it kind of makes sense.
And I suppose there is an opportunity in that back three that's sort of been nailed on of Hogg, Doohan and Darcy. Darcy Graham obviously injured. Alan, that sort of second wing slot, McConaghy, our man, Shaunie Maitland, possibly Kyle Steyn. You know, who do you think is going to be taking that jersey?
I think you think McConaghy is third in that list. And then it's just really, it feels like a bit of a straight shootout between Maitland and Steyn. I might be wrong. And McConaghy might come in and start. But I think we've sort of discussed previously that the one thing with Maitland is he's just so solid. And clearly, you know, for Saracens, he is a consistent starter still. And I think ultimately you can put Maitland into that match at Twickenham in front of 80,000 people. And you know he's going to have a pretty solid game. He's not going to make any sort of big mistakes. And I think, I wonder if that might just give him the edge, just given the nature of that first match.
34 Maitland. He's been like, it feels like he's been going for a long, long time, but it doesn't feel as if his performances of like, or his sort of physicality has fallen at all. It's pretty, his like durability is quite remarkable.
I suppose like his key skill was never being absolutely rapid.
Yeah.
So I guess it's easier to maintain that sort of solid performance if you're not, if your main threat is like top end speed. You could argue that he looks quite slow sometimes.
He looks so slow.
There's like one try he's going to be ran in from like fast. It was like one try ran in from like 60 meters, and I think everyone was like, how is he still keeping in front of all these people? He's so slow.
It was against Australia one year, and
it was the second
row chasing him, and he got worryingly close to him, I remember.
I guess in that sort of Rogue banner, we talked a bit about him in a couple of weeks ago when he signed for Edinburgh. Ben Healy called up to the Scotland squad first time out. Obviously, got to hope that Finn Russell's going to be starting at 10 for Scotland. Does Ben Healy come straight onto a bench because of, I suppose, Adam Hastings is injured and maybe we're not doing Kinghorn anymore?
I still think that they will potentially go for the Kinghorn bench option and go for a potentially sort of 6-2.
A 6-2,
split.
Yeah.
Because you can do that with sort of the Horn and Kinghorn. If you have them on the bench, you sort of cover that. So I can see that. And then Ben Healy ultimately is there in case Finn drops out. It's, I guess, obviously I'm glad to have Ben Healy in the squad because I do think he is a good player. I do feel like in comparison to Finn Smith, his potential isn't as high. So he's probably like the worst of the two options that we could have captured in the cycle. And obviously Finn Smith's kind of gone off to England. But from what I've seen of Ben Healy, he's a pretty solid player, probably more in, I would say, like the Dan Parks category than the Finn Russell category.
I think he's quite a different player to Finn Smith. So I think their ceiling is different. Like, I think Finn Smith would be more of an out-and-out, like, Finn Russell replacement, whereas Healy is maybe, as you say, Dan Parks. But maybe that's actually quite a good thing. If you could have, like, a really good Dan Parks plus Finn Russell plus Adam Hastings, it gives you some quite nice options.
I was trying to think of a bit about different types of ceilings, but they're just like all ceilings, aren't they? There isn't something there about cornicing, is there? I don't know. No. I think we need to move on. Yeah. I mean, looking at that, you talked about the front row. I think we can call it a pleasant surprise to see Xander named. And it seems actually that the conversation, whereas we thought he was maybe missing the first couple of games, it looks like he's going to be quote unquote fit for the England match. That seems to be the way the media is being briefed. But, you know, Matt, would you still see that given that he wouldn't have played? Do you think WP Nell is going to start in that case with then, you know, the option of Xander coming off the bench rather than dropping him in at the start? Or do you think even with no game time coming back from injury, Xander is, you know, too good to leave on the bench for us?
Yeah, I would be tempted, I think, to play him, to start him. Because I kind of get the sense as well that he is like quite a fit player in general, like his engine is really good, and I don't see that dropping off massively. Obviously it's different training to match intensity, but I also I kind of think that Nell off the bench isn't exactly what you want. I think sometimes if there is a doubt over Ferguson's fitness, then starting with Nell, having him just like basically scrummage for 50 minutes, and then you've got Ferguson on when the game's maybe, you know, a bit looser, it kind of makes sense. But I think beyond that, those are the only two guys that, like, it's a shame that Walker's injured, but I'm not sure that I feel that confident with Bergen, even if it was off the bench, if you see what I mean.
You wouldn't want to do WPNL for 30 minutes and then bring Xander on just to close out the first half and then kind of like smash out the second half.
What, so Nell would only get 30 minutes?
Yeah. Sort of the Eddie Jones approach. Was it South Africa? I thought South Africa did something like that where they sort of had their starting front row for 35 minutes and then
brought it on.
And it's just obviously just kind of like get Xander to kind of blow, come on for 5 minutes and try and sort of disrupt and then give him the second half.
It would be so good in that first game if it was like Schoeman, Turner, Nell. And then after 38 minutes, oh no, Ferguson, it was like the bomb squad came on of Batty, Cherry, and Bergen. It's like, right, here we go.
The bomb squad.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a bit of a Poundland bomb squad, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same. Alan, you mentioned it up top. We used to have hookers coming out of our arse. Actually, wait a second. We can't say that. Just heard it. We used to have like world-class hookers all the time, but now is it a case that, you know, McAnally not involved, slightly up and over because of injury, Fraser Brown's included, but he's coming back from injury. You know, Dave Cherry is a workhorse and we've been big fans on the pod of Chez and he's done some great stuff, but he's not at that sort of world-class level. Who are you starting at hooker if you're choosing it?
It's super difficult. You look back at the last Six Nations and you sort of think Turner would be sort of the likely option, but he sort of fought, his club form sort of fallen away and I guess Franco Smith seems to prefer Johnny Matthews and Fraser Brown at the moment. I love Dave Cherry, but I'm just not sure that he is like a starting versus England at Twickenham quality player.
Yeah. Ashman?
I wonder if it's if Fraser Brown gets the nod. And
yeah.
I think Townsend clearly likes him, rates him, and trusts him. You could see with his sort of inclusion to start that New Zealand game, he clearly sees him as someone who has the who now has the temperament and qualities to kind of operate in those big matches. And in that New Zealand game, he absolutely crushed it, right? He had an unbelievable performance. So I potentially think Fraser Brown start with Ashman on the bench, but I could honestly see an argument for basically all four of them starting, or at least an argument for them starting.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Hamish Watson included, despite sort of not playing an awful lot for Edinburgh. Matt, how are you seeing that sort of makeup of the back row?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if Watson is fit for that first game, because then I think you stick with what's probably been the established back row over the last like year or so, of Watson, Richie and Matt Ferguson. I think the questions would be if Watson's not fit, then I could quite like to see Luke Crosby come in. We're having this debate the other day.
The foreign player.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he's on cracking form. Like maybe been playing it like the best out of, even better than Richie in the last year or so. I think Alan was saying maybe that he's not sure if he's got like that added element at international level, but I think he's worth giving a shot at least to. I think probably the other debate is whether Dempsey comes in for Ferguson and for Matt Ferguson. It's interesting that in pretty much this whole season, Ferguson's been playing six to make room for Dempsey.
Yeah.
But I think that Ferguson's got enough credit and enough form in that Scotland number eight jersey that you're likely to see Dempsey on the bench, which is a pretty good option. I don't think Dempsey's had that like defining Scotland performance yet. He's only had a couple of appearances, but
something interesting about having an Aussie Scot though. It's like the two biggest countries that hate England boiled into like one player. It might just be too much for him at Twickenham.
We just need to get someone with the trifecta of Scotland, Australia and Argentina to create like the best.
Yeah, the perfect mix.
I do think just on Ferguson as well, I think he's sort of quietly having like a really good season with Glasgow, yeah. Just putting in a lot of solid performances. Seems to be sort of flourishing under Franco Smith. So I think he's definitely done enough, to your point, both in an international jersey over the autumn and with Glasgow over kind of the Christmas period, especially in those matches versus Edinburgh, to keep that number eight jersey. I quite like the idea of a 6-2 split with both Crosby and Dempsey coming off the bench.
Well, presuming that Watson's fit to start.
Fit to start, I feel like Dempsey and Crosby coming on at 60 minutes gives you just two very dynamic, abrasive, confrontational players that I think is something that Scotland have always sort of lacked, right?
Yeah, and I think the other options would be like a Bayliss or a Christie, who I think provide a nice bit of versatility, but I think you're right. There's not quite the same punch.
And moving into the back line, then again, shows an awful lot about what we talk about when we get together. We were discussing the nine options last night, Alan. Franco Smith seems to be basically choosing George Horn over Ali Price and this sort of the resurgence of Glasgow. Assume that probably won't flow through to Gregor Townsend's thinking. Ali Price probably sort of stuck on at number nine.
Yeah, I just don't see any changes. I think we were discussing, it feels more likely that maybe Ben White gets ahead of Ali Price in the sort of Scotland shirt.
I wouldn't mind that. I don't think
he's good player.
I think he's been playing really well. Like him and Horn are the foreign players at the moment. And I think that when White's played for Scotland, he's looked pretty good. And maybe it's the kind of like slightly left field selection that Townsend might spring a surprise with.
Ever since Ali Price did that interview with the Times talking about his girlfriend's rabbit, his career's sort of gone. He's gone down.
He's focusing too much on his YouTube page.
There's too much influencing, not enough rugby.
That YouTube account, people should go and look it up. It is, I don't quite know how to describe it. It's something else.
There you go. We'll flag it up. It's certainly worth a go. But let's assume that he starts at 9. Is all quiet on the Western Front and Finn is going to start at 10?
Well, I think now, with Finn starting at 10, you feel like that's an added bonus for Price starting, just because that combo is so tried and tested, and clearly they know each other so well that I think if Finn starts, it kind of gives you another reason to just keep with Price.
And speaking of tried and tested, do you think we might see Hugh Pilotu or Chewy Pilotu in the centres for Scotland? Or do you think that's just a Glasgow fever dream?
I think Chewy Pilotu is nailed on.
At 12? I guess it's the Chris Harris question.
I think at 12.
You don't think Redpath comes back in, given his performances at Twickenham 2 years ago?
I would love to see it. Like, I love Cam Redpath, but I think that Chewy Pilotu is on really good form, and it seems as if the signs were during the autumn internationals that Tooney rates him pretty highly. I think it's really changed on that front. So I can't see Jones coming in. I'd like to, because the way with Jones is that he spends this whole camp as basically a utility back. And given he seems to be on like pretty cracking form and offers something at 13 that Harris clearly, for all his strengths, doesn't, would be a bit of a shame. But yeah, I think, as we've talked about before, I think Harris is like one of the first four or five names on the team sheet under Townsend.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And then we've already sort of discussed that back three.
The only guy we didn't mention the back three was Ollie Smith.
Of course, yeah. But
who do you feel, relatively comfortable with him coming in to replace Hogg if Hogg doesn't make it?
If he doesn't make it, yeah. Although all suggestion, all noise seems to be that Hogg is going to be fit and available.
Yeah, no, agreed.
I mean, I think we've always been quite big fans of Ollie Smith. I think he is growing in. He's probably the natural heir to Hogg, but not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be his first Six Nations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be a big test, him starting at Twickenham.
Do you remember when Blair Kinghorn was the heir to Hogg? That was good, wasn't it? A few years ago.
It's weird that Kinghorn was like starting winger for Scotland three, four years ago.
Yeah.
I'm playing pretty well in that position as well.
I don't know. I still believe that his best position is 12. I think he's like a bit, you know, Jordy Barrett. Him and Jordy Barrett similar.
They are the same build.
Same build. They've been thrown around. Jordy Barrett is now looking at playing 12 for the All Blacks. And they're just, look, me and the All Blacks just ahead of the game, where we've seen the future. And that sort of tall, powerful, big, rangy, but with good distribution 12 is exactly where Scotland should be looking. And Kinghorn is that man.
Well, I would say probably, but Stafford McDowell is the archetype. Well, that, and he's actually playing at 12, which I don't think we'll see much, if any, of him during the Six Nations, but fair play to him. If he's like,
he's on great form,
fulfills his potential, then he's a nice option to have.
Glasgow captain.
Yeah.
And still the most boring guest we've ever had on the pod. Doesn't stop him being a good rugby player, though.
Yeah,
I was doing some digging on Bet365 last night, looking at where can I find some value. And like, Scotland are sort of like really bizarrely priced for. So we're 66 to 1 for a Grand Slam, and Wales are 40 to 1 for a Grand Slam. But to finish bottom, we're like way longer odds than Wales. Like we're basically priced in to finish fourth. That's where the betting markets are. They're like, Scotland are not going to win. They're not going to get the wooden spoon. They're just going to have another sort of middling campaign. It's kind of gutting to see the markets move sort of. The markets sort of sum up exactly how we're feeling.
Markets are efficient at times.
Yeah.
If we are going to win the Grand Slam,
yes,
I don't think here it's a terrible schedule, if I'm honest, because I think In terms Here of playing, in terms of playing England, new coach. You're playing them away, which is always going to be difficult. But you're playing them first up with a new coach. Hopefully, you can sort of catch them at Twickenham and with them as sort of a little bit unprepared, a little bit just disjointed. You've then got Wales in your second match, which I ultimately think on paper Scotland is a better team than Wales, and you ultimately hope that Tooney now can outwit sort of Gatland. What you've then got is a sort of 2 week break where ultimately where France and Ireland will have played in the first two matches. I think you hope that France beat Ireland away and then we catch them cold in France. France have always got a bit of a shocker in the locker. And then
shocker in the locker.
And then you drift into week four, three wins, momentum's going, Ireland at home. I don't know. I think there's a road, there's a path there.
Narrow path.
Yeah. Really, really windy and narrow.
It's like that, you know, the back staircase into Mordor. Like really bad. Just don't do it. Got the job done though, I suppose.
Yeah. It's I don't think I think the start, there's a really good opportunity for two wins.
Yeah, I agree. We always, well, not always, but the last, we have a decent record against England in the last sort of 5 years now. There's something in that. But maybe that was an Eddie Jones thing, but I don't know. I mean,
I'm slightly worried about Wales now. I think the squad they picked is just like full of people who are quite good at being Scotland. People like Reese Webb is like, when was the last time he lost to Scotland, for instance?
Yeah.
And with Gatland there as well. And he's picked some pretty good, well, seemingly good coaches around him. But yeah, that's further down the line.
It absolutely is. And of course, we'll be with you every week as we go through the Six Nations. But why don't we focus on England first up? We've kind of talked about it, but starting 15, what do we think Tooney should? Let's go for should rather than what he will. I guess we can kind of do both as we go through. But Matt, front row?
I've gone Schoeman.
Nail.
And then I've batted around Hooker, and I think he should play Turner. That would be my preferred choice, but I think the likelihood of that happening is quite low.
You think Fraz Brown goes in the middle?
I think providing he's fit. Yeah, and then Turner or Ashman on the bench, either of which I'd be quite happy to have there, to be fair.
Yeah, I agree. Anything on that, Alan?
I think that's fair. Nell, Brown, Schoeman. And then you can have a pretty punchy replacement if you've got Ferguson, let's say Turner, and Sutherland. That's a pretty experienced and strong bench to come on.
Is that true?
Just second rows? Nell is like the last stand of Nell. Just one match. Just give us 40 minutes at Twickenham, like the perfect. Don't do anything else apart from scrummaging. Just like trundle around, kind of stay out the defensive line. Just maybe like hang around rucks. That's all we need from you, mate.
I agree. Second rows. We haven't really talked about it on this, but some interesting options in there. Bring back the Gray brothers together.
I did have that written down, but I wonder if they'll go
narrative.
For. Yeah, exactly. But I wonder if I think Gilchrist might be pretty nailed on. It was interesting to hear on the Rugby Pod this week. Hamilton was saying that Cockerill told him that he thought Gilchrist was in top five second rows in the world. Maybe that was when he was coaching him. But anyway, and then I don't know the other one. I've always liked Skinner, but I don't know if he'll dislodge one of the Greys or Gilchrist, to be honest. And he provides
too
a bit good
more to have
the
on the bench. But he offers too much on the bench, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing with Johnny is I don't think he's not been playing much, has he? Or he hasn't played the last couple of games for Exeter. So he's also sort of lacking a little bit of game time. It feels like Richie has somehow become he is one of the second rows, and it's who partners Richie Gray, which 12 months ago just seemed such a mad concept.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I probably agree that I think it's going to be Richie Gray Gilchrist to start.
And then in the back row, are we going to assume, I guess, what do we know? Let's do a with Hamish Watson and a without Hamish Watson option. Matt, you've sort of said Watson, Richie, Ferguson if Watson's fit.
Yeah, definitely. And then I think I'd put Crosby in if not instead of Watson.
Yeah. Alan, what would you do in the Watson situation?
Crosby, again, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too much about sort of like away at Twickenham. It just feels like for a guy who's relatively inexperienced at international level, it's a big match to sort of come into and start.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, ultimately there's not a lot of other options.
Yeah.
You could bring Skinner maybe in, but I guess, and put Richie at seven. I don't really know.
Mm.
And just kind of give you a bit more of that bulk against that England pack.
I think Crosby would love it. I think like he would thrive on, and maybe he doesn't have like quite the ability to cope, but it's not like, I think he would definitely like front up against it. And because I think England are just going to basically pick as big a pack as possible. So with Crosby's an absolute unit. He's like 6'6". I didn't quite realize that maybe you go for a bit more bulk. He's maybe a bit more physical than Skinner, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm upset there isn't the option of Nick Haining.
Are you?
Purely for the narrative value.
Yeah, purely for the narrative value. I like the idea that he could be starting in the match. But yeah, no, I'm glad he's not.
And then into the backs, Ali Price and Finn sort of nailed on.
I think so.
And then, so Matt, talk to me about centres in that case.
I think Tuipulotu and Harris is what he will go with. And I think maybe on balances, it makes sense. I think if you have Russell and Tuipulotu and maybe Hogg, for instance, coming from fullback, I think you've got enough playmakers to hopefully unlock the likes of Doohan and obviously the defensive stability that Harris brings. And feels like Harris has had like a lot of big games against England in recent years. So I think that makes sense.
Agreed. Alan?
I know I've been designated the number one Chris Harris hater, but I probably agree.
You personally dislike him, actually. That's what I don't like about your views on Chris Harris, is it's too personal.
But no, I agree. I think, especially with Finn and Hogg, if they're both starting, I think ultimately Harris comes in and starts. And actually, there was quite a few nice Harris defensive clips being popping up on Twitter over the weekend where he absolutely smashed Ringrose. So yeah, hopefully brings a bit more of that.
And then into that back three, who are you having on the wings, Matt?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think I've got Doohan nailed on. Then depending on whether Hogg's fit, probably Maitland. Ollie Smith's been playing on the wing recently for Glasgow and doing okay. And Carl Steyn's on really good form at Glasgow, but I think just for like solidity in maybe a game that's going to be quite tight and rely a bit more on like tactical kicking, then Maitland's your guy.
Sounds like it. Alan, you're the Maitland bus.
Yeah, agreed. I wouldn't be surprised for Steyn to come in, and I've got no issue with Carl Steyn kind of coming into that position. I think he'd be absolutely fine, but I think Maitland makes sense.
So there you have it. That is the Scotland 15 that's going to go down to Twickenham and bring back the Calcutta Cup. Easy.
And then you could have a bench, ultimately have a bench of Ferguson, Turner, Sutherland, Johnny Gray, Luke Crosby, Dempsey, Horn / Ben White, and then Kinghorn, which feels strong. Stronger than
strong.
Benches have had historically. You feel like, especially with those forwards, there's a lot of players there that can actually really bring some impetus off the bench.
And even if you went for a 5-3, like, then Redpath, Hugh Jones starts to come into that conversation.
which is like
pretty nice bench options, to be honest.
Look, it sounds like a team that is going to win, so I'm feeling confident about that. And now, Alan, that you've sort of teased the path to the Grand Slam, I can feel the hype. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be hurt again.
It's look, Andy Murray is going to win the Aussie Open, and that's going to lead us straight into Scotland, beating England at Twickenham and winning the Grand Slam. It's like, it's a glory year.
God, how pissed can a country get? Imagine if those things happen. A joint open top bus tour of the Grand Slam, the Six Nations Trophy, the Triple Crown, the Calcutta Cup, and Andy Murray with the Oz Open Championship. Fucking hell.
Do you
be like downtown Buenos Aires?
Would Scotland have an open top bus tour if they won the Grand Slam? Do rugby teams do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think Ireland and Wales? I think. I remember going to the open top bus tour when Hearts won the Scottish Cup, and it was bloody rammed. I feel like Scotland's rugby is sort of a similar scale.
Yeah, I think with Ireland is so used to it these days that it's like, okay, cool, and maybe even Wales to an extent. But I think Scotland,
it might almost be embarrassing if we did do it. Everyone would be like, guys, come on.
You know, Jim Telfer has obviously been ruled out to surprisingly just kind of slag off the national anthem. But then the offside line just published an article being like, Jim Telfer, Scotland's class of 2023 can replicate 1990 Grand Slam success.
Yes. Ooh.
Jim is out playing the hits. Let's
go. Exactly.
Well, thanks very much for joining us for the breakfast show. We are going to be back now every week throughout the Six Nations. So make sure you're hitting that subscribe button wherever you're getting us and following us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and get that newsletter subscribed as well on Substack. Look out for that information coming from Fanzo and get your name in the ballot for those tickets to Scotland versus Italy, because, you know, that is probably going to be the wooden spoon decider and you don't want to miss it. We will be back next week. Thanks a lot.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.